Production support for Earth Eats comes from Elizabeth Rue, enrolled agent with Personal Financial Services, assisting businesses and individuals with tax preparation and planning for over 15 years. More at personalfinancialservices.net. And The Clean Bedroom, offering organic mattresses, adjustable beds, and pillows, helping mindful customers create a sustainable and organic clean bedroom step by step. New York City, Boston, and now Indianapolis. More at thecleanbedroom.com. From WFIU, this is Earth Eats. I'm your host, Kate Young.
And we didn't realize that at the time. It's not like an explosion. By the time you realize what happened, it's too late.
On today's show, we hear from two generations of farmers on the same land, one reflecting on the past, one looking to the future. And what happens when your neighborhood coffee shop becomes your neighborhood pub? We'll ask the owners of Hopscotch Coffee what they were thinking when they launched their new beer menu. Harvest Public Media takes us on the floor of a farm trade show to check out all the new toys. And Jackie B. Howard is back with a toasty, warm slaw perfect for the fall. That's all just ahead on Earth Eats. Low prices, coupled this year by tariffs on pork and soybeans, have stressed the Midwest ag economy. But they haven't slowed the sales pitch of the companies vying for a piece of the farmer's dollar. Harvest Public Media sent Amy Mayer to the annual Farm Progress Show to see what's on offer and whether or not farmers are biting.
This huge trade show alternates between Decatur, Illinois, and Boone, Iowa, where I visit this year. Despite heavy clouds, blimps and planes pulling banners are in the morning sky, and more than 300 exhibitors greet people from around the world. Giant combines in primary colors fill corner lots, while air-conditioned tents feature scrolling multimedia demonstrations of new digital tools. Taken together, it's a strikingly visual reminder that agriculture is a high-tech enterprise. One of the first farmers I meet is John Peterson of Jackson, Minnesota. He says when he's deciding on business spending, he doesn't draw a distinction between equipment and technology.
I don't really see it as an either or. I think it's holistic. You're trying to put together a system, and you're trying to optimize the operation that you have.
He's not swayed by bells and whistles.
Whatever it is that I am focused on, it needs to bring value back to the farm. Otherwise, it's a toy, and I really don't have any use for it.
As they collect swag and climb up into the fanciest combines, some farmers can look like kids in a toy shop. Often they've come just to look and learn, but in nearly every conversation, someone's pushing the next big thing. Right now, ag tech is hot. According to Forbes magazine, last year, investment in the sector exceeded $4 billion. So it's no wonder that at the Farm Progress Show, flashy technology appears at nearly every turn. Turns that become soggy midday as heavy rains fall. Ceres Imaging's Barclay Rogers tries to keep his booth dry. He says interest in this four-year-old company has been growing steadily.
We're not trying to sell a bright, shiny object that will sit in the yard. We're trying to sell something, a data service that's going to help the farmer make more money.
Aerial images pick up plant stressors not yet visible to the human eye. Then farmers can make a plan to combat the pest or disease before the problem spreads.
The farmer's dollar is always scarce. And the question is, what is it that's going to deliver the most value on the farm?
Farmers pay by the acre for this service. But sometimes the hook is the same as we see in consumer technology, a free app with a promise.
There's no upsell, there's nothing in the app for purchasing, and the grower retains the ownership of all the images.
That's David Gray of Zarvio Digital Farming Solutions. Zarvio is a free crop scouting app that Gray says speeds up the task of monitoring fields to find and identify problems. A user uploads a photo and the app names the disease or pest that caused the damage.
So it doesn't replace the grower agronomist discussion, but it speeds up the data collection in a scouting trip.
Catching problems early on saves farmers money, Gray says. And that's the goal, he insists, not selling them more gallons of products. But Zarvio is not a standalone startup. It's a subsidiary of BASF, one of the world's largest chemical companies. Technology aside, planting and harvesting require combines, tractors, and other expensive machines. Alan Miller is remarketing manager for Kloss North America.
With some of the uncertainties in commodity prices and the current trade situations, used has become a high interest with many farmers that traditionally had been buying new.
Miller says others are hanging on to equipment longer than they used to. Farmers like Pete Brecht of Central City, Iowa. He put off buying a used grain cart for a year, hoping the price would come down, because he says it's just a simple wagon. But with technology spending, he says generally his investments have brought strong returns.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you look at it and you wonder, but after you've had it for a couple of years, you wonder why you didn't have it sooner.
That's an endorsement any company would welcome. Amy Mayer, Harvest Public Media.
More from this reporter collective at harvestpublicmedia.org. Sometimes the past can tie us down, but sometimes it gives us hope for the future. Up next, a farm that looks both backward and forward, becoming more beautiful under new management that understands what the land was, as well as what it can become. Producer Peeler Briniarski brings us this lyrical piece from an interview provided by StoryCorps.
And you know, in the early spring, it's the coreopsis, and then it kind of transitions to there's the beard's tongue and the black-eyed Susans and the purple cone flowers and all the different prairie grasses that grow, you know, 10 feet tall. That I go out there and I feel like I'm in a jungle. Peonies and tulips and alliums and peonies and tulips and alliums and tulips and alliums and alliums.
My family purchased this farm in 1867. We still have the 1868 tax statement from it. And I am fifth generation, I guess.
There were peonies in the back and daffodils, and I, you know, picked those peonies that first year and used them in some bouquets, which was really neat. And so, yeah, it's just, it's a farm. It's like any other farm.
There would have been lots of people who had moved off the farm but still kept coming back to reclaim some of the old skills, pie baking. And,
butter churning.
Canning. And
I've heard some stories about how they churned butter on the porch and drying the walnuts, too, on the... laying all the walnuts out.
Man, that brings back.
When I moved in there, there were already some flowers, and I knew that was a good sign. There were peonies in the back, and tulips, and alliums, and tulips, and alliums, and alliums.
That brings back a lot of memories. I remember coming home from school, and there was 50 bushels of apples sitting on a porch, and probably 30 people in the house, you know, making applesauce or whatever. Lots of laughter. I mean, it was just a really wonderful community, happy type experience, you know. And then came Earl Butz. And Earl Butz was Richard Nixon's Secretary of Agriculture. And Earl said, "All right, guys, get bigger, get out." And that didn't mean much at the time. Nobody really understood that. But that was a glacier. You know, that was this very slow-moving thing that ground up everything in its path. Ground up the fields, the fence rows, the farmsteads, and finally the towns. It just leveled it. And we didn't realize that at the time. It's not like an explosion. By the time you realized what happened, it's too late.
When you pull down the lane, you see the old Civil War era farmhouse and the big Sears Roebuck barn and some of the other outbuildings. But then there's just fields of flowers and different colors and textures. And
farmers were trying to get bigger. Well, the only way you get bigger is you had to take something that was your neighbor's. There's no more land being made out there. And you see this, you know, and you know there's something terribly wrong, but you're really not quite sure what you can do about it.
And alliums and tulips and alliums, peonies and tulips and tulips and alliums.
The community looked out after itself. If you had kids, somebody was there to look after your kids. You know, these kind of social services were provided in the community. We have to get people back on the land.
whole little community in itself between the chickens and the bees and the flowers and this year vegetables. So.
And you're carrying it on.
Bringing it back.
Bringing it back.
My name is Kira Santiago. I am 27 years old, and I am renting a farm from Dave Bishop.
And my name is Dave Bishop.
It came into my life right when I needed it to, and I've been trying to take advantage of that ever since I've been at the farm.
It's really easier to talk to young people who have no bad habits to lose than it is to people who have already got a set way of doing things. They have to unlearn that and then learn something new. So you have an advantage of not coming with a lot of baggage that you really don't need.
I'm a flower farmer, and you forgot to tell me that there were 6 acres of wildflowers. If you would have told me that the first day, I would have been sold. Beard's tongue and the black-eyed Susans and the purple coneflowers and tulips and alliums.
It's hard to even kind of grasp the amount of people that have been in and out of that house, the amount of, you know, happy times, sad times, conversations. Like, it's almost overwhelming.
Beard's tongue and the black-eyed Susans and the purple coneflowers and tulips and alliums and tulips and alliums and alliums. And there were peonies in the back. I've never felt lonely out there, even when I've been by myself.
This change is going to happen. One way or other, there's no alternative to that. And so, how it happens? Are we going to sell out to large corporate entities and see more industrialization? You know, is the glacier going to keep moving? Or are we going to change things? Are we going to make an effort to put somebody on that land that's going to follow the ideal that we have in our own heads? And my generation is making those choices voluntarily or involuntarily. By what you do or what you don't do, you make the choice.
The interview for this piece is provided by StoryCorps, a national nonprofit whose mission is to preserve and share humanity's stories in order to build connections between people and create a more just and compassionate world. StoryCorps.org. And this recording is part of research led by the Indiana University Ostrom Workshop. Their study involves farm transitions from one generation to the next, in particular, transitions between people who are not in the same family. Find out more on our website, eartheats.org. Production support comes from Charles Schwab & Company, Incorporated, whose local branch is now located at 1155 College Mall Road. Independent branch leader Jeremy Zeichner, CFP, and team offer personalized financial plans matched to investors' goals. More at schwab.com/Bloomington. Need more coffee roasters? A woman-owned coffee bar and roastery dedicated to roasting organic, direct trade, and fair trade coffee from small-scale farmers around the world. Offering signature drinks, teas, and little eats. Located on Pete Ellis Drive, needmoreroasters.com. And Elizabeth Rue, enrolled agent with Personal Financial Services, assisting businesses and individuals with tax preparation and planning for over 15 years. More at personalfinancialservices.net. Coffee shop can play an important role in communities and in our personal lives. Yeah, sure, it's where you get your coffee, but it's also a place to meet a friend to catch up or a colleague to collaborate. You might settle in at a table to study for an exam or work on a writing project with that cafe white noise in place of the particular distractions at home. Hopscotch Coffee is one of those places in our community. In the 4 years they've been in business here in Bloomington, they've become an institution. They've got their main cafe located on the B line south of downtown, and the Roastery and Express Cafe near City Hall. They also now own Rainbow Bakery on 4th and Rogers. Their latest expansion is an extension of their hours. The original Beeline location is now open until 10 each night, and they're serving beer. I sat down with the owners Jane Cooper Smith and Jeff Grant on the eve of their beer menu launch to hear the story behind this latest move. Jeff starts with the beers.
Four local beers on draft and a variety of bottled and canned beers. We've made a lot of friends in the local beer industry. A few breweries use our coffee to make like coffee stouts. And yeah, we've just kind of made these connections over the years, and we can have a diverse local lineup.
For me, the thing that's the most exciting is sharing the porch in the evening hours. We're located at Dodds and Morton, just off the Beeline Trail, north of the future Switchyard Park. And the porch is just, it's covered. We have some pretty comfortable seating out there. And I don't know, it's just super pleasant. It sits above the trail, so you really have a good vantage point for people watching as people are jogging or taking a stroll after dinner or, you know, getting their workouts in. It's just really fun. It feels like a hub between us and Cardinal Spirits. There's a lot going on in this little neighborhood.
Yeah, there's also no traffic noise, which I think is nice. It's fairly quiet out there, but still active because there's people walking by and biking by all day.
You know, we wished it from the beginning. We never would have said it, but we have become sort of like that neighborhood place that you stop in. So in the morning, you stop in for your coffee, and then in the evening, maybe you take a walk down here after dinner to get a beer. When we first started talking about beer, I was reminded of this place that I stayed in Belgium outside of the Schweppes Castle. I would eat dinner with our little family, and then after about 7 o'clock we would stroll down to this house that was basically converted to a pub, and they had really great Belgian blanche beer on tap, and there was a big piano, and just all of the neighborhood families were taking their little walk. And when we started talking about beer, that's my wish for what this would become.
I think remaining a neighborhood business is important to us too. I don't really want to run a bar personally that's open till 3 a.m. and serves liquor. Like, that's just not what we got into the beverage business to do. But I think just closing at 10, it'll kind of work nicely with Cardinal Spirits, our neighbor. You know, they serve alcohol too, and they close down kind of early. So I think we're both trying to exist in the neighborhood without being a disturbance to the neighborhood, and trying to keep that neighborhood vibe.
The way our permit is set up and the way that we will serve the beer allows for all ages to be present here at any time. This spring we hosted a couple graduation parties, and we had been talking about doing beer for a while, but I was the staff member for one of the grad parties, and we had all the doors open and the music was going and the sun was setting and the people were milling in and out of the doors and the breeze was perfect. And I think at that moment I was like, this is going to be really great. I can't wait to share this.
We want to keep Hopscotch what it is. We just want to offer more services to our customers.
Although we are pretty excited in that it might become a little social at that hour, we think people will put their laptops away. We're hoping that's what will happen. And we bought some games to encourage that.
Yeah, some days it can get a kind of study hall vibe in here, and that's fine. People use the space for how they need to use it. But yeah, I am hoping that we'll get groups and families in here at night a little more.
It's pretty fun to be involved with the local beer community. With each of the brewers that is using our coffee, they participated in cuppings at our roastery, and we did kind of an analysis of each of the beans that they were considering using, and it was really funny. Usually when people come do that kind of tasting or analytical exercise, we have to kind of explain what's going on and then do the exercise, and the beer people were just they just dove right in, and they're food nerds, and we are too, and flavor nerds, and we like to taste things and then think about them and then talk about them a lot. And so it was really fun to sort of get our feet wet by working with these guys behind the scenes. And then, you know, it was really obvious when we were deciding what beers to put on who we would want to work with.
Yeah, it's just I just feel like Jane and I's approach has always been to work with other local businesses when possible. And that's something we've done since day one. And sometimes you try to make a relationship work and you find that your businesses are at odds, or it's just kind of hard logistically. but this has been really seamless, and all the breweries we've worked with have been so helpful and supportive and just excited for us. It's been really nice.
We've got more information about Hopscotch on our website, eartheats.org. Our recipe today comes from Jackie B. Howard. Jackie works in development here at the station, but she's also an accomplished chef. These days, Jackie does a lot of planning ahead and meal prepping for the week. Today's recipe is a warm slaw featuring Brussels sprouts, roasted butternut squash, and spicy bratwurst. The butternut's been cubed, seasoned, and roasted. She's using it for some other dishes besides the slaw. The grilled brats were left over from a cookout and stashed in the freezer till she came up with an idea for them. Because that's how Jackie works. She uses what she has and preps one ingredient to use in several dishes. The butternut has cooled, the brats are thawed, and now she's getting the Brussels sprouts ready. She's cutting them in half and then using the slicer blade on her food processor.
Amazing how great those smell, just cutting them in half.
Right. I am a big fan of cabbage and you know, some people don't like Brussels sprouts, but I think they're so delicious. Just try them. Not like your mom pulled out of the freezer.
Right.
Real Brussels sprouts. Take them, cut them, roast them, saute them, just caramelize them. But roast them with that sweetness to it, you'll never go back.
I really like them with mustard.
Yes. That's what this is going to have, a mustard vinaigrette. It's a really great flavor combo. All right. So I'll cut those in half and now we'll run them through the food processor. I'm putting together the slaw. I've got the Brussels sprouts through the processor, and I'm going to do a mustard vinaigrette. You can use any mustard.
I've done about 4 tablespoons.
Yeah,
five.
I'm going to do 5, and I'm going to add vinegar and honey to it for now, and then I'm going to saute the Brussels sprouts with a little bit of oil, and I'm going to add this to it. I'm going to taste it once I put some stuff together and make sure it's got the flavor I want to it. I can always add extra seasonings if I think it needs to be a little sweeter, a little tangier, I can always add that as I go. I had the 5 tablespoons of mustard. We're going to do about a tablespoon of honey, and I just did about a tablespoon of red wine vinegar. I'm going to do this to taste as well, and I want it to be slightly on the thicker side because the Brussels sprouts are going to give off a little bit of liquid when they cook, plus I'm adding oil. Pan is hot, and I'm going to do some olive oil on there. And so that's why I didn't put any olive oil into my dressing, because I'm putting it on the pan to saute my Brussels sprouts. If I were going to do that as a dressing for... If we were going to do the Brussels sprouts cold as a cold salad, I would put the olive oil into my vinaigrette. Mm-hmm. So Brussels sprouts are going into the pan. I'm going to throw about a teaspoon of salt. And I'm going to do cracked black pepper for this. 6 to 8 cranks. The Brussels sprouts smell delicious. You smell it warm. It has that, like, it fills your senses. It's not bright like basil. That's gonna smell really bright and fresh. And the Brussels sprouts smell warm and toasty. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna saute them up too much because I wanna still keep this fresh and hearty and keep some texture to it.
Mm-hmm. You want a little bit of crunch in there.
Yes. So this has just been, I don't know, like a minute probably. 2 tops. I'm going to add my dressing, that mustard dressing. I'm going to toss that around. And now that this is getting wet, I don't want to cook it much more because that wet dressing is going to pull out more moisture from my Brussels sprouts. So I'm actually turning the heat off now. And I'm going to add my brats. And I'm gonna add the red onion. I didn't saute the red onion with the Brussels sprouts because I want the red onion to get warm and break down just a little bit, but I wanna keep it kind of fresh and bright, and that's what's gonna help it taste more fresh when I eat it later. I'm gonna taste it as it is now before I add my butternut squash. Once I put that butternut squash in, it's soft. I don't wanna mix it much more after that. So I'm gonna taste it now. Then I will put in the cherries and the butternut squash, give it a light toss, and then it can be put into containers for the week. So even just being there for like 30 seconds, the brats already have their flavor on the Brussels sprouts as well. Those extra seasonings really complement the mustard, and that mustard is not nearly as tangy now.
Jackie decided to add a little bit more vinegar to balance out the sweetness of the butternut and to cut the fattiness of the brats.
I'm gonna taste it again. Yeah, that's what I like. I like it tangy. If you taste it and it tasted fine, don't add extra vinegar to it, but I like it that little tangy. So I'm gonna get the butternut squash. About a cup or so into this slaw mix. Stir that around.
They're holding their shape pretty good though.
They are, which is really nice. And that's what's so crucial about letting them cool before adding them to this, is it does help them retain their shape once you add them. But now I'm adding it to something warm, so it's going to start to break down the more I mix it.
The last thing to go into this warm slaw is the fresh pitted sweet cherries. Then it's time to taste.
So I've got to get something of everything in every bite. The Brussels sprouts are cooked perfectly. Like, they're just not soggy or anything. They're nice and crisp, but they're not raw. It's just right. Yeah. It's got a really nice crunch to it. Yeah, that's going to be a satisfying dinner.
It's, like I said, it's filling, but light.
The last step for Jackie is to package it up into meal-sized containers to enjoy throughout the week. We'll be hearing more from Jackie Howard about meal prepping tips, practical healthy eating, and how she got into cooking in the first place. So you'll probably want to subscribe to Earth Eats wherever you get your podcasts, just to make sure you don't miss any of Jackie's recipes. You can find all of our recipes at eartheats.org. Production support comes from The Clean Bedroom, offering organic mattresses, adjustable beds, and pillows, helping mindful customers create a sustainable and organic clean bedroom step by step. New York City, Boston, and now Indianapolis. More at thecleanbedroom.com. Charles Schwab & Company Incorporated, whose local branch is now located at 1155 College Mall Road. Independent branch leader Jeremy Zeichner, CFP, and team offer personalized financial plans matched to investors' goals. More at schwab.com/Bloomington. And Need More Coffee Roasters, a woman-owned coffee bar and roastery dedicated to roasting organic, direct trade, and fair trade coffee from small-scale farmers around the world, offering signature drinks, teas, and little eats. Located on Pete Ellis Drive, needmoreroasters.com. Big thanks to the Earth Eats crew, including Ayabon Binder, Chad Bouchard, Alex Chambers, Mark Chilla, Taylor Killo, Daniel Orr, everyone at Farm Bloomington Restaurant, the IU Food Institute, and Harvest Public Media. Special thanks this week to Julia DeBrucker-Valiant of the Ostrom Workshop, Allison Quantz, Peeler Briniarski, Jane Coopersmith, Jeff Grant, and Jackie B. Howard. Earth Eats theme music is composed by Aaron Toby and performed by Aaron and Matt Toby. Our executive producer is John Bailey. I'm Kate Young, and that's our show. We'll see you next week.